ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Now this is the world of disturbance. Even in the Krishna Janmashtami program, there's some disturbance. That is not surprising. Because even when Krishna himself comes to this world, there's so much disturbance. The first line I read anything about Krishna in Srila Prabhupada's books was that Vrindavan is, I'm paraphrasing here, Vrindavan is such a wonderful transcendental place, but even in Vrindavan, because there's the material atmosphere, even in Vrindavan there are so many disturbances. Krishna was dancing. Which demon is that? Arishtasura? So Krishna was stealing butter. Krishna was stealing butter. Krishna was dancing with the gopis. Krishna was taking out the cows. Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna. But also Krishna was killing the demons. Beginning from baby age, the Putana Rakshasi came to kill Krishna. Then Krishna killed her. Then there were so many demons, Shakatasura, the demon in a cart. Then the Vyomasura, the demon in the form of a whirlwind. Then there was Putana's brother, Bakasura. Then another brother, the Aghasura. Then Pralambasura was killed by Balaram. Pralamba and Dhenuka was also killed by Balaram. Then there were Keshi in the form of a horse, Arishta in the form of a bull. Kaliya wasn't killed but was chastised. So many demons were causing so many problems in Vrindavan. Two times there were forest fires which threatened to engulf everything. So Krishna's pastimes, they're very sweet, but there's a lot of dealing with the demons and the disturbances also. Krishna comes to this material world because there are so many disturbances to put everything back in balance. So this Krishna conscious movement is supposed to act as the representative of Krishna. And to put everything back in order, to stop all the demoniac activities. Now Now, we think Krishna was very nice and is very good in killing all the demons. But the demons, they didn't like Krishna. They thought, why does this leave us alone? We're happily exploiting everyone and cheating everyone. We're going on with the... Why is he coming and disturbing us? The Krishna conscious movement is telling everyone to lead a pure life. Hyderabad, one of its great glories, is it? It has the biggest slaughterhouse in Asia. People want to say, what's great about our city? So what are the great things about Hyderabad? Well, there's the Charminar. Was that Hussein Sagar, is it? With the big Buddha statue standing there. And the famous smell coming off it. What else? The Chandra Babu Naidu wanted to build a racing course. I think that didn't happen. Huh? So what has Hyderabad got that's better than other places? The biggest slaughterhouse in Asia. Is that something good? No. We want to close that down. That's very sinful. People say, well, why? It's good for the economy, good business. What's all this religious sentiment? And people do not know the laws of nature. They're killing, so they will have to be killed. So just Krishna, he wanted to stop all the demoniac activities. So this Krishna conscious movement also wants to stop all the demoniac activities. So many people, they may think, well, we're good people, we don't eat meat. But even eating garlic and onions, we want to stop that also. And even eating any food except offered to Krishna, we want to stop that also. So people may think that's too much, that's too extreme. They may say this is religious fanaticism. But we're just trying to teach people how to live in a way that will be for their actual benefit. Our actual benefit will be if we follow Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. People don't know. Therefore, they're misguided. Asatyare satya karimani. Whatever is wrong for them, they think is right. Just like you see here, there's one young boy, he's doing this chamor seva. He's fanning me with the whisk. In the modern way of thinking, that is something very bad. Why should you engage children in your service? But that is for their benefit. Just like Ram and Lakshman, they serve Vishvamitra. Just like Krishna and Balaram served Sandipani Muni. That is the culture by which they can be raised up to the spiritual platform. But materialistic people, they don't understand this and they don't want to understand it. So this Krishna conscious movement is meant to make a major change in the whole way of life and way of thinking of the human society. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you will understand why we are advocating this. Everything is described point by point. Everything is based on spiritual knowledge. Because we don't have spiritual knowledge, we don't know what is actually best for us. Because there's no clear spiritual knowledge, therefore there are so many opinions on so many subjects. So many theories. You'll find people are writing in the newspaper and on the internet and discussing on TV. Different ideas about what we should do in society. They're all blind to knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Apashyatam Atmatattvam. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you will for the first time get clear knowledge of what is this world, what is the nature of this world, what we're supposed to be doing here. Unfortunately, people are so dull-headed that they can only think in terms of sense gratification. You're all very fortunate people that you have feeling for Krishna, that you've come here even late at night now for hearing about Krishna. So our proposition is not once a year. This Krishna consciousness should be in your life every day of the year, every moment of your life. Just like there are the businessmen class of people. The Marwaris, they are very famous for doing business. So they're very focused on that. Even when they're taking their meal, in their mind, thought is going on about business. When they wake up in the morning, first thing they immediately start thinking business, money, all these things. So this is perversion of the pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That we're all the time thinking of Krishna. Of course, the businessman, he may also think some other things, how I have to get my daughter married, and which kind of car I may purchase. He may think other things. But business and money is always in the background of his thoughts. Even if he's thinking of something else, He never stops thinking. That's the main focus of his life. So in Krishna consciousness, we may also think that, well, we have to buy a car for doing our preaching activities. But it's all for the sake of Krishna. Someone may study some sound system to learn how to work it properly, but it's all for the sake of Krishna. They're going to use the sound system for Krishna's service. So this is the consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that is the very meaning of life. How we can always think of Krishna. How we can always think of Krishna. Krishna repeats this in Bhagavad Gita again and again. He reiterates. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah pariyupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says, one who thinks of me without deviating to any other subject. Someone who's always engaged in that way. Krishna says, I look after such a devotee. I look, whatever he needs for executing his devotional service, I will look after that. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smriti nitya shaha tasyaham sulabang parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Krishna describes the bhakti yogi, that his consciousness is always fixed without any deviation. Simply remembering me all the time. Krishna says to such a person, I make myself easily available. Then Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, always think of me. Become my devotee. And the very practical way to do that, Krishna says again, satatam, always, satatam kirtayanto mam, yatantascha drudavrataha, namasyantascha mam bhakta, nitya yukta upasati. Devotees, they're always chanting, always glorifying Krishna. Always engaged in Krishna's service. With great determination. So this is Krishna consciousness. It is available for everyone. It's not just for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Everyone in every condition can and should take up Krishna consciousness. Grihe tako, bane tako, shada hari bole dako. Whether you're living as home life, or you're living in a forest, or an ashram, that doesn't matter. Whatever situation one may be in, always chant the holy name of Krishna. It's an easy process. Is it not easy to chant the name of Krishna? Everyone chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any difficulty? Kuncham kashtam? No kashtam. Kashtam nasti. No difficulty whatsoever. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, you get all spiritual benefits. In North India, they have every year this Magh Mela at Prayag, Allahabad nowadays. And every 12 years, they have this Kumbh Mela. And you'll find yogis, they come from Himalaya. And some of them, they'll sit on thorns. I don't know why, what the benefit of that is, but they sit on some thorns at the Kumbh Mela. And they have this long jata. Some of them have jata, it comes all the way down below their ankles and longer. To grow jata that long must take a few hundred years. So some of these yogis are actually hundreds of years old. And they're doing severe austerities in the caves of the Himalayas. In the winter it's very cold. You cannot imagine how cold it is. If you lived in Hyderabad all your life, you cannot even begin to imagine how cold it is in the Himalayas in the winter. So in the winter when it's extremely cold, they'll enter into the river which is below zero temperature, but it's not frozen because it's flowing fast. And they'll sit there all day doing their tapasya. And in the summer, when the sun is beating down on their head, they'll build fires all around them and sit all day and do tapasya. And they hold their breath for a long time, and this way they live a very long lifetime. Practically they don't eat. Very difficult. What is the benefit? They can sit on thorns. And what benefit do they get from that? What benefit do they get? Anyone who chants Hare Krishna, they get more benefit than performing austerities for hundreds and thousands of years. Because if we chant Hare Krishna with faith and love, we please Krishna. Krishna becomes pleased with us. If Krishna is pleased with us, then that is the perfection of our life. And very simple, very easy, very pleasing. And everyone can do it. I don't think anyone here, if I ask you, now you leave home, you go to Himalayas, you do austerities, no one will agree. Even if you agree, you can't do it. But you can chant Hare Krishna. And you'll get more benefit. So, why not do it? A simple request. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, that's all. How can you be happy in your family? Simple thing. You put Krishna in the center of your life. Husband, wife, children, you all chant Hare Krishna together. You make Krishna your head of your family. Krishna te kila cheshta. Do everything simply for Krishna's pleasure. If we all become servants of Krishna, Krishna will be very pleased. We'll get Krishna's full blessing. This is the simple way to be happy in family life. Someone who's living at home, performing some work for earning money for the family and chanting Hare Krishna is a better yogi than the one doing austerities in the Himalayas. They're also great personalities. After all, they're pursuing spiritual life. But anyone who tries to please Krishna becomes dear to Krishna. Your life becomes successful. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he came to Kurukshetra. You must know Kurukshetra. You were recently in the same state, but now you got cut off. That's in northeast Andhra Pradesh. So there was one Brahmana there. His name was also Kurma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house. And he said, the Kurma Brahmana said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Now that I saw you, I can understand my family life is completely useless." What is the point of this, all this maya, all this, this difficulty in family life? So he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll leave home and go with you. I'll become a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "No. You stay at home. You chant Hare Krishna. You ask other people to chant Hare Krishna. You instruct them in Krishna consciousness. And you'll never be touched by Maya." So Kurma said, no, I want to go with you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "No, you stay here, do what I say, and you will meet me here again." How will he meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a wandering sannyasi. We'll always get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if we always follow his instructions by chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, is that ready there? Oh, I thought you said you were going to do it earlier. That's why I'm asking. So what do you want to do? Do you want to do the aarti now? Is ready, we should start. Okay. So, now, very shortly, we'll have the aarti. And that will be the end of our program for this evening. Tomorrow morning, we're having another program. Tomorrow is Nandotsav. Nanda Maharaj is very happy. He has a son. And we're celebrating the... Today is the birth of Krishna. Tomorrow we're celebrating the birth of Srila Prabhupada. Who took Krishna consciousness to the whole world. So we're celebrating his birthday. And day after that, we're celebrating Krishna. Day after that, we're also celebrating Krishna. Every day is a festival. But tomorrow, you can tell about the festival, when and where. So please try and join us tomorrow also for more bliss. What's the program? What time does it start? You can tell me afterwards, because I don't follow the Telugu. All right. Anyone like to say anything? Any question? Anything? We just have a few more minutes now. Our Gurukul boys, they collapsed. Huh? They wanted to stay up until 12 o'clock, but they're just having a little hibernation there. They'll get up again and start dancing. All right then, Hare Krishna. There's a question? Yeah. Okay. You like to come up? Oh, there's the mic there. Will the mic go that far? Yeah, but, you know, with this... Yeah, well, there you said the word Sharia means body, and there's Shariri. That means the owner of the body or the soul. Or in Bhagavad Gita, the words are given Deha and Dehin. Dehino Sminyata Dehe Kaumarang Yovanang Jaratata Dehantara Prapti Dhiras Tatranamuhyati. The Dehin or the soul is within the Deha or the body. The body changes from boyhood to youth to old age. The final change of the body is called death. But the soul is not subject to growing or getting old or dying. The body is made of material elements. There is no life in material elements. In the body there is hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen. These are the main constituents of the body. And there are so many other micro nutrients within the body. But there's no life in the chemicals. What gives life to the body is Atma. That's why the word is there, Jivatma, because there's Jivan. Life is there in the Jiva. There's no life in the body. Sometimes a child is born stillborn, means born dead. The child that is born dead and the child that is born living, same chemicals are there. One grows and the other doesn't grow. Why? Because in the stillborn child, the jeev, the atma, the soul has left. So when the jiva enters, then life begins. And when the jiva leaves, that is called death. So the jiva, the soul, is the active principle of life within the body. We say, if someone dies, we say there's a dead body. But actually the body is dead. It's only because of the presence of the soul that it appears to have life. This is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Without understanding this, we cannot understand anything about spiritual life. The soul is eternal and goes from body to body to body. The body is temporary. So it's essential to understand this. Just like if you can't understand 2 plus 2 equals 4, there's no question of going on to higher mathematics. You ready? Whenever they're ready, we'll have the arati. They'll be cleaning the hall at 1 o'clock, is it? Excuse me just 1 minute. Do you have this Bhagavad Gita as it is? Yeah. Ah, there you go. That book you should read. You may have a little difficulty in understanding. Then you have to approach our devotees to explain. Just like you can get a book on mathematics, but you need someone to guide you through it. So you read that Bhagavad Gita as it is and the science of self-realization. That will help you very much. Okay, one more quick thing, because we have to do the arati now. Ah, very good question. No, the soul is, in one sense, not active because the soul has no actual contact with material nature, but due to identifying with the body, he feels himself to be the enjoyer or the sufferer of his activities. So the soul is in one sense the doer because the body is just matter. But in another sense, we have no contact with this material nature whatsoever. It's something like being in a dream. In a dream you feel fear or happiness, but it's all illusory. When you wake up, it's just a bigger illusion. It's a continuing illusion. Okay, so go ahead with the RT. You can, if you want to discuss more, you can discuss. Who's sitting next to you? Nitai Nimai, he can explain to you. But maybe not just now, because we're in the middle of a festival.